Trump-Putin summit.
Getting along with Russia is a good thing, not a bad thing.
A lot on the agenda.
Nuclear arms reduction, Syria and Ukraine, and election meddling.
Survival at the bottom of a cliff.
Can't believe you're alive, Angela. That's unreal.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Indeed.com.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan.
And I'm Nora O'Donnell in Helsinki. Scene of the one-on-one meeting between President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin. It's a sit-down that comes just days after the U.S. indicted 12 Russian military intelligence officers for allegedly hacking their way into campaign 2016. Mr. Trump set things up here with a tweet saying the U.S. relationship with Russia has never been worse. And he told CBS News he has very low expectations. Our coverage begins with CBS News White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
The meeting started late, a function of Vladimir Putin's delayed arrival here. After their respective motorcades wound their way through the streets of this historic city to Finland's presidential palace, the two leaders sat side by side in front of U.S. and Russian flags. Their initial meeting, without any aides, was scheduled to last 90 minutes. Vladimir Putin spoke first, telling Mr. Trump it's now time to discuss strained U.S.-Russian relations and the other difficult issues facing the world.
We have not been getting along very well for the last number of years. I've been here not too long, but it's getting close to 2 years, but I think we will end up having an extraordinary relationship.
The president said the talks will focus on nuclear arms reduction, China, and trade. He didn't mention election meddling.
We all have a lot of questions, and hopefully we'll come up with answers, most importantly.
Reporters have questions of their own, and they intend to pose them at a joint news conference here after the meetings conclude. Nora?
Major Garrett has been covering President Trump as he travels through Europe. What else strikes you about what President Trump mentioned just this morning?
Well, talking about the hope for an extraordinary relationship with Russia sets a pretty high bar. One thing I think it's worth remembering as President Trump goes into this summit, he's got a couple of things on his mind in relationship to Vladimir Putin. He will come in and say, our economy is very strong. President Trump's administration has authorized the export of liquefied natural gas to Europe. It hasn't happened yet, but it's in process. That's a counterweight to Russian influence over energy supplies throughout Europe. Remember, the Trump administration also approved the movement of lethal weapons to Ukraine. That hasn't changed the military dynamic there in any way, but it's a step that the Obama administration didn't take. So the president would argue here in Helsinki, he has done things to send a signal to Vladimir Putin that he is going to be tougher economically in terms of exports and in terms of military equipment to places like Ukraine than his predecessor was.
Elizabeth Palmer is here with me and has covered President Putin for decades since he has been in power. What did you make of his comments? What did you make of the body language?
Well, he was looking very relaxed, but not eager. President Trump was leaning forward with some intensity. Putin almost looked bored, is way too strong, but slightly detached.
Is that intentional?
Probably. We have to remember he's an ex-spy. He's been trained in mind games. And he was also very non-committal about what they would talk about, whereas President Trump actually put some suggestions on the table. So Putin's playing his cards very close to his chest.
Before this meeting, President Trump talked with CBS Evening News anchor Jeff Glor.
President Bush said that he saw into his soul. I think he came to regret that. You said that Putin toyed with Obama. How do you ensure that things are different in this administration?
I don't know. Look, I've met him two and a half times. Most of you people were there when I met him. I think that I may have a very good relationship, and I think I may have a very bad relationship with him. I have no idea. I love the United States. He obviously loves Russia. He's for Russia. I'm for the U.S. We'll have to see what comes of it, but I think we have a chance to have a very good relationship.
The Russians who were indicted, would you ask Putin to send them here?
Well, I might. I hadn't thought of that, but I'll be asking about it. But again, this was during the Obama administration. They were doing whatever it was during the Obama administration. And I heard that they were trying, or people were trying, to hack into the RNC, too, the Republican National Committee. But we had much better defenses. I've been told that by a number of people. We had much better defenses, so they couldn't.
Well, President Trump also tweeted today about the NATO summit last week. Mr. Trump writes he received many calls from leaders of NATO countries thanking him for bringing them together to get them focused on financial obligations. Protesters hit the streets of Chicago over the weekend. Anger over the fatal police shooting of a 37-year-old man. Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson describes how it all began.
They see what they think is a holster and a gun protruding from underneath his T-shirt, and that's what brought them to stop him. They stopped him to question him, and then, you know, you'll see on the video what transpires next.
Body cam video that's been released appears to show a gun in a holster, and the man spun around as he fled and reached toward his waist. He was shot multiple times. A firefighter was killed while battling a blaze near Yosemite National Park. Fire official Nancy Korperik says he was at the controls of a bulldozer.
Braden Varney has been one of our dozer operators for a little over 10 years, knows the area very well. This certainly is going to be devastating to his family and those of us that call him family here with CAL FIRE.
The fires forced the closure of a key route into the park. What a story from coastal California near Big Sur. Chelsea and Chad Moore were hiking when they spotted a Jeep Liberty at the bottom of a 200-foot bluff.
It looked like there wouldn't have been any survivors. Like, the car was pretty bad.
But there was a survivor, Angela Hernandez.
We turned around, and Angela was right there in the rocks. Just looked like hell. But she was happy at the same time. She was really happy to see us.
Authorities had to use climbing gear to reach Hernandez, who had been in that predicament for 10 days. She says she swerved to avoid hitting a rabbit and tumbled down the cliff. She used a radiator hose to siphon water from a nearby stream to stay hydrated. It's a time of absolute euphoria in France. Eternal happiness, reads one sports headline, after France took soccer's World Cup.
It's already being called one of the most exciting World Cup finals of the modern era.
France, a world champions!
France 4, Croatia 2. France took the lead after 18 minutes, but Croatia seemed the better side. Croatia had possession of the ball 66% of the time. The jubilant French national coach said his players showed great mental agility, but conceded they did not play a great match. Well, try telling that to the thousands of ecstatic French celebrating on the streets of Paris. Larry Miller, CBS News.
And that's the World News Roundup for Monday, the 16th of July. For Nora O'Donnell in Helsinki, I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.